don't hear about a couple of people on TKIs. I see you've got a 49-year-old man who got lenvatinib. We were talking about that. I'm curious what happened there and particularly how he tolerated it.
So this is a gentleman who presented, you know, with a huge, large mass in the right lobe. And, you know, he was actually treated with liver-directed therapy with embolization at the outside institution, but only achieved very transient response. And his AIP was more than 20,000 at the time of presentation. And he also, you know, has significant liver disease-related symptoms, including pain, right shoulder discomfort, and night sweats. He also has underlying hepatitis B infection as the underlying etiology. And so, you know, when I saw this patient, I think the decision was really trying to get an agent that has a very good chance to control the disease-related symptoms so that you can actually really alleviate the tumor burden. Hopefully that will actually stabilize him so that he can actually start to enjoy some good quality of life. Of the two choices that I was thinking, it was really one is lenvatinib, the other one is really checkpoint inhibitor. But I think for logistic issue, we just couldn't get the checkpoint inhibitor in time for him. So we started the lenvatinib very quickly at full dose. So he did have some transient hypertension, but overall, you know, tolerated the drug very well.
You had to treat the hypertension?
We started with calcium channel blocker, you know, for him. And I think, you know, it's very striking with the administration of lenvatinib, all the tumor-related symptoms actually improve very quickly, even before we start the first repeat CT scan. And the AFP was also trending down. And I think, you know, he was able to decrease the AFP to the 8,000 range from more than 20,000 range. And I think on the next scan, you know, he did actually achieve minor responses on CT scan as well. So he was able to maintain on the drug, you know, for I think 5 or 6 months, yeah.
What happened after that?
Well, you know, I think that's obviously a very challenging situation. We were actually discussing about switching to nivolumab or adding nivolumab. And for this patient, you know, the decision was actually to continue the lenvatinib by adding the nivolumab.
Wow. What happened then?
I know. Well, it's still early right now.
So that's where he is right now. So you add in nivolumab to the lenvatinib.
Correct.
Wow. And that's outside of trial?
Totally outside of the trial, yeah. Yeah.
Is this don't try this at home, kids, type thing?
No, definitely not. Don't try it too often, yeah.
What do we know about tolerability specifically of lenvatinib and nivolumab? Are there data on it?
Well, as you know, the data really limited to the pembrolizumab to lenvatinib.
Wow.
But obviously, you know, having experience with both drugs, you know, we definitely have a lot of experience administering this class of agents, yeah.
What prompted you to, you know, really continue the lenvatinib in the face of progression as opposed to just switching to nivolumab? Was it like you felt like this is your one chance, you want to do as much as you can, or what were you thinking?
Yeah, this is a very difficult discussion requiring multiple, you know, back and forth discussion between me and the patient. I think it's a young patient who really wants to do everything he can very aggressively. There was really no restraint, you know, for the financial concern. I think in many ways, it's really taking into the latest data that we have with PD-1 in combination with TKI. So we thought, you know, if anybody can deserve a chance to try this, you know, I think this may be the right population. But I think, you know, obviously this is definitely not quite ready, you know, for the community oncologist to explore this.
I guess as an oncologist, I'm an inveterate optimist, so I'm going to check back with you. I just got a good feeling about it.